Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Amongst our mashayikh, is one prominent figure, Shah Abdul Ma'ali Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayh. Now and then we discuss their stories. There are a lot of points for us to learn in their beautiful stories, lessons, stories of adab. Sometimes we bypass these things and we feel that we know what we are doing. The Lubbock system is that each generation respects the generation above, and so forth and so on. We draw, we learn, we reflect, and the moment we drift away from these people, then we drift away from the cause. So the Shah Ul-Ma'ali Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi had to go to a town, and normally one of the murids in that town was quite attached to Hazrat, and because of the attachment, Hazrat would inquire. So on this one occasion, the murid wasn't around. So inquired that he'd gone out, and then in a few hours or so, the sheikh discovered that there's poverty in the house. So now the lady folks are there, 5-6 women are there, and yet he discovered that there's poverty. They are on the point of starvation, nothing to eat. So he gave them some money, they can fill the drums with atta, whatever, and he wrote out a taweez. He says, insert it into that drum. Now, Shah Abdul Ma'ali Sahib, he came back from his journey, whatever it was, and he says, now contrary to what was routine, there's food in the house all the day. Every day there's food in abundance. So he inquired from the wife what happened. He says, no, Sheikh came around, and this is what happened exactly. So now, to be able to balance the both, one is your yaqeen Allah Ta'ala, your trust and reliance on Allah Ta'ala, and the other is the respect to the Shaykh. So this is a crunch, we come to a position, and many people do not know how to handle that situation. So you respect your father, and you respect his teachings as well. You respect him, but that doesn't mean that you can't consider him to be God. So respect is a different thing, and Allah Ta'ala is different, right? It's totally different, it's unique. But it doesn't mean because of your yaqeen you will disrespect your father or disregard him, get disinterested into him. You'll keep the both. For the same, you will respect the Shaykh, but it doesn't mean that the Shaykh is everything. He's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it is Allah Ta'ala who put Shaykh in that position. So because Allah Ta'ala put him in that position, therefore you will respect him, you will be considerate towards him. When he heard all this, now see how he manages the whole thing. He has to respect the Shaykh, but his trust in Allah Ta'ala should not be shifted. There are a lot of things he could have done. He could have just thrown the taweez away, discarded it completely. So what he says, no, see the taweez of my Shaykh, and the drum is not the place where the taweez is supposed to be placed. That is my Shaykh's taweez. This I need to keep on my head. That's the respect I need to accord to it. Right? So he removed the thing. Now he needed his yaqeen to be turned back to Allah Ta'ala, that Allah Ta'ala is the giver. When Allah Ta'ala is the giver, it will happen however Allah Ta'ala wants. Right? But as long as the taweez is inside, the whole yaqeen is on the taweez. As long as the taweez is around, then things will be flowing. and the Taiwanese moved out, then the things will come to a stop. So he had to get the Taiwanese out. Now this is how he called the Taiwanese out. So the Taiwanese is not, the drum is not the place to, for the Taiwanese to be kept. So where is the Taiwanese supposed to be kept? On my head. A few days the drum was empty again. So this is what he wanted to do. That yaqeen must be brought back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but in a way that he doesn't bring about any disrespect and disregard to the Shaykh. The same Shahbul Ma'ali, so his murid was Shah Beg Sahib. So in the old days the training was a little bit different, firm training. So when the training was firm, if the murid had gone anywhere, then he would be very firm. He wouldn't waver. One side, other side, left side, upside, downside. Now, you have the murids, but then in one moment he's moving this side, and the next moment he's moving the other way. Every weather will catch him. He's becoming a victim of any type of climatic situations. Anything comes up, he's going this side, he's going that side, getting up, turned around. So they would make them so strong and so firm that one person is quite sufficient for an entire area. So one student is explaining this to me. That I had this ustad and I have that ustad. Both were teaching me the same sabak. So I asked him, oh, what's the difference? I don't need to know your ustad's names and all that, but I need to know what was the difference in this instruction compared to that instruction. So he says to me that this ustad here, if I made a mistake, then he would send me back, right? And I would only get the chance to recite to him after a day. Now I would think to myself, a whole sabak is stalled and delayed because of this one mistake. Ustad could have just corrected me and I could have moved on. I could have been 5 pages ahead. Now I'm delayed for 5 days. But later on I discovered that that was the more appropriate thing, most appropriate thing, because that correction will remain in my life right throughout, right? And now here Ustad is very lenient, right? You didn't do the qalqala, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقُ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقُ. So he said, well, you know, make qalqala here. So I'll over 1,000 times repeat and make the same mistake. Because it's not ingrained. One student was here that was studying with me in Myaswam. So this was also the tartib of Avesab rahmatullahi alayh. So he's standing one day here, he came to the office after some 30 years or so, he came here. So he says that, I was reciting my Durr to Hafiz Sahib after Maghrib, and I forgot to recite the Gunna, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُطَّرَّ إِذَا دَعَى. And Hafiz Sahib sent me back. He said, now I'm delayed now. I'll get my turn again after 2 hours. But for two hours I'm left in the abeyance, not this way, not that way. But he says to me that, do you think I ever made that mistake again? For the first time and last time, I'll never make that mistake again. So in those days, this was the style, that they need to correct the person, they correct him very well. Very well, strong, smooth. So he doesn't shift. The idea is that the aspect of istiqamah has to come into the person. And for the istiqamah to come into the individual, then you need to be firm. Right? And if you're not going to be firm, then it's not a service that you are doing to the murid, you are doing a disservice. You pleased him now for that moment, you pacified him, very good, very good, very good. That person remained in that mistake. Now, how is he ever going to come out of that mistake? As Muathanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi, one person came up to him and he said, this person is not the murid of us as well. He came, I got a problem. What's your problem? I go and buy my milk from this dairy. Really, I don't need to go there. But it is the girl that is serving there that is very attracting. So just to have a glimpse, just to appease the heart, get some cool feeling, you know. I go there, and I take the feeling, and I get the milk as well. First, this is wrong. You're not supposed to be doing it. So, but, you know, I feel very uneasy without looking at her. The whole day I'm waiting for that moment that I'll go there, have a few glances, and come away. So I feel very appeased. I'll explain for the second, it's not right. So, but I can't do without it. Another game, one tight smack. Tight smack game. He went away. So later on, some murid of Hazrat met up with this person, this dairy maid, made up with him. When he met up with him, so he introduced himself. So he says to this murid of Hazrat Muhtani Sahib Rahmatullah, you know, what the smack did to me. The thought of the girl, he just pushed it out, one smack, and he's pushed it out. And I'm so appreciative to him. In the meanwhile, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali is feeling so remorseful. A new person came in. He's not even got he doesn't have a formal relationship, and I have to give one smack. But you see that the firmness, and the strength, the stability is required. That is called istiqamat. So that is, when there is that istiqamah that is planted in the individual, wherever he goes, he doesn't need to be repeatedly corrected. One mistake, again. There's a repetition of the mistake all the time. There's no steadfastness, there's no stability. So how do you expect the person to move on? So then he stagnated, he's still at the same spot, came again, I got the same mistake. Came again after the same mistake. So you have to think of a way to create the stability in the person, that he doesn't repeat it. So if the stability is there now, then he's moving forward. Otherwise, he's at the same spot, he can't move. So the mashayikh in the past, this was their style, they would create the stability in the person. Okay. Like how you got a tree planted, so you leave it at the nursery, so that it sets well. So at the nursery, they will nurture the plant, they will see that it is set well. Once it's set well, thereafter that they transplant it, it goes all right. But the beginnings are not right. You will have a repeated problem all the time. Just fix the person up for a few miles, fix it up again. I remember the 1960s, we were out in Jamaat, you know. So we had a family person, he had also a Scoro he had. So I think we're going every 20 kilometers and the engine is heating up, it will just the door, so we had to put a rope to pass at the door. But we made it to Joburg. Somehow or the other, we came back. But now, that's not the way to travel. You know, it will just delay the whole process. We're about 20, 30 kilometers, getting stuck again, fixing it up, going again. So it's not the way to go. Nobody will appreciate that type of motor car, not that type of vehicle. The right way is spend some money, get that thing fixed up nicely, and then move. All of us will enjoy that ride. All of us will enjoy the journey. But like this, you're going one step forward and two steps backwards. Going again forward and two steps backwards. So get that person, get him fixed up and get him right. So the easy way to get to that is to first build the confidence in the person. Not to just get him enrolled. Got him enrolled in what? Are you making any progress with the person? Are you taking him forward? So, the right thing would be then to get the person in the confidence. That is why Muhtani Sahib Rahmatullah, against the mashayikh of the time, he was not interested in increasing the roles. So, I just may have just a few people, but the few people that I have must be very strong rooted. Right? When they are rooted, that one person is individual to handle one whole area. But the person is not rooted himself. Right? He's rooted, he's half-rooted, he's semi-rooted. So what's going to happen? The sheikh may think that I'm doing a service, right? But perhaps in the long run he's doing a disservice. Now how is he doing a disservice? This person is not rooted well, right? And he represents the sheikh, because he's a murid, so he represents the sheikh. When he represents the sheikh, so people look at him, they are looking at the sheikh. when they look at him and they're looking at the sheikh, say, well, this person can do this, what's wrong in it? He can talk to women freely, so what's wrong in that? Now and then he listens to music, so what's wrong in it? People got no beards and all, he shows them a lot of respect. What's wrong in it? So everything, he'll have that attitude, that what's wrong in it? So those that are seeing him, they will see this reflection of the sheikh in this person, and their deen, the little deen they had, that also will be diluted. See the danger. The little deen that they have, that will also be diluted. But if he's firm and he's strong wherever he's going, it may take time for people to take on. But when they take on very well. Then there's no diluting. So this was amongst the reasons why Hazrat won't just take people immediately. Because it takes a lot of time. See, this preparatory work is very difficult. Extremely difficult. To put a person to a cause, let him master the cause and finish up, it's easy. Like you see how you put a person on a hifz class, right? Put him to a hifz class, came tajweed, make him hafiz, it's easy. But the maintaining of that, how long it takes? You hear a lot of children now, they finish, the parents got shock and all that. So in a short period of time, they finish the whole thing. But then to maintain the whole thing, to live the Quran Sharif, I see you, do they manage that? No, we'll send him here. Talimuddin, get him his hifz. Now he's got it finished. So now, the main work starts after that point. After that point, now to see to that, see the Quran Sharif is about 5 fuquq. One is to recite it, to memorize it, then to learn the tajweed that goes with it, then to apply it, then to understand the message of the Quran, then to ponder over its contents. So many duties the Quran Sharif has got. So the parent feels that I've made the child a hafiz, I've done my duty more than a fair share. And then, from there onwards then, what? He feels now I'm absolved. When I'm absolved now, it's alright. So what's wrong? So you can see a hafiz today, came from a good institute, came from here, wherever a good institute came from. But then in a few moments you'll find, he's got a t-shirt, he's got a tight jeans, he's got earrings, he's got a punk haircut, he's got a chain around his neck, got a bracelet, right? All these things you find, all this drama you are seeing, and say, no, but how the people will polish it, they say, no, you know. Mustn't be judgmental, but there's a new word they learned. But, yeah? Don't be judgmental. If a man, ask yourself the truth, ask yourself, a man came to propose for your daughter, are you going to be judgmental? No, don't look about his ganja and dacha and all. Don't worry about his punk haircut. His heart is very good. Do you have that approach? Then why you became so judgmental? Suddenly, when he suited you, then you became judgmental. When he didn't suit you, then you're not judgmental. So don't be. So the problem is you learnt a few words, you thought you were intelligent, and then you start using that word everywhere and anywhere. But when you are in the fix, then you become judgmental. You are a clientele, right? He's not good in his payments. So, do you have that attitude? Don't be judgmental. Do you supply him goods, million rand? No, mustn't be judgmental. He's a very nice person. His heart is very good. He's in a position, so he's not paying you today. Are you judgmental or not? See? Or you're just supplying the goods. It happened to the Tabligh Jamaat here, about some 30 years ago. So one chacha came from some other country, neighboring country, he came in here. He used to give some popular tabligh bayan. At the time the tabligh book was still growing. So everybody's getting carried away with him. Carrying him, so he became a little bit prominent. When he became prominent, he went to this wholesaler, chacha, I need some goods. How much? 30,000? Take it, man. We know you, man. Right. Went to the next person, another 30,000, 40,000. I think it's about 5 days he took goods for about a million rand. And then, he's gone, disappeared, khalas. See that? So you have to be judgmental. You can't be more intelligent than the Sahaba Kiram. But Umar radiyallahu said, نَحْنُ نَحْكُمُ بِالزَّوَاهِرِ وَاللَّهُ يَتَوَلَّ السَّرَائِرِ. We'll judge the person from his outward behavior. What is in his heart? That is between him and Allah Ta'ala. But we will judge him from his outward behavior. How he deals, how he works, how he conducts himself, we'll see him on the outward, and we'll take it from there. He may be a very good person, that is between him and Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala to decide. But we are going to decide with the person according to how he behaves, how he portrays himself outwardly. This is how we're going to decide. Somebody saying, "Oh, this person is such a good person, you know. So much of knowledge he's got, he's so pious, right?" The only thing is, he wears a suit and a tie, and he's got, he's clean shaven, but he's out, you know, you can't judge the person. I says, "Yeah, you can't say he's a iblis or a kafir, that you can't say, because you got no proof. But you got the proof to say that he's a fasik. Don't you have the proof to say? Isn't he a fasik? He was clean shaven, he's wearing a suit and a tie, tight clothing, etc. Don't you have the right to say that? You've got all the right to say he's a fasik." Yes, he may be pious between him and Allah in some other respects, but the outer shows that he's a fasik. He's a kafir. He's a fasik in that respect. So now, people learn few phrases, and then after they've learned that few phrases, they don't want to say, you know, across the board, everybody, don't be judgmental. Don't be judgmental. Tani kaha se jaakar, kaha par jaakar ke seekhte hai? Where they go learn these things here? Not one word, don't be judgmental. Don't be judgmental. If you're not going to be judgmental, I say, will there be a judicial system in the world? The judge has to be judgmental for him to occupy that position. If he's not going to be judgmental, he's killing flies. What is he doing? So before you use a word, try and understand its implications, applications, etc. All understand all these things here. Then apply the word. You didn't understand these things. You just understood half. And then you want to use the word. Is it right, I say? Someone said, "No, one chacha came here outside the masjid. Professor, right? So he tells me, Mula, use the word convert in your bayan. You mustn't use the word convert, say revert." I say, "Alright, I understand where you're coming from. So you say you must use the word revert, not convert. Why? Because you say that perhaps kullu mauludi yuladu al fitrati. Every person is born on fitrat. Fitrat normally translates as Islam, right? It's because of that." So, "Yeah, it's because of that." So, alright, if you say he's a Muslim in birth, right, I ask you, if he's a Muslim in birth, if that child dies in that infancy, are you going to give him an Islamic burial or a kafir burial? So, obviously, kafir burial. If he's a Muslim, it's your duty to give a Muslim burial. Why do you give him a kafir burial? If the child was in constraints financially, right, for some reason, his parents, etc., were in constraints, that he was in constraints, he was going through some malnutrition, couldn't you help him out with zakat? Are you going to give your zakat? Are you going to offload your zakat there? Why? So just say it like how you were saying originally, convert, don't mix up things. You don't know the application, don't know the implications. But no, you heard it from here, heard it from that side, he said this and he said that. And then you would apply the thing, but you didn't understand it fully, you didn't capture it fully. It's a disservice to the word. It's a disservice to the community. You're confusing people as well. So just say it as it is. The simple words that are reaching correctly and directly, just use that words. Don't use words that will complicate people, complicate yourself. You do not understand what you're talking about. Talk, but talk according to your level. Nabi Sassam said, in Masood Adiyah says, if someone knows the thing very well, then let him say what he knows. And if he doesn't know it, then say, "I don't know it. Allahu A'lam." Because Nabi Sassam is commanded to say, "Ma ana minal mutakallifin." I don't pretend. I don't pretend. I don't behave like I'm not supposed to be behaving. I don't say things that I don't know. I won't behave like I'm not supposed to be behaving. And I won't say the things that I don't know. It's so clear. Deen is so simple, so clear, so untrue, so enjoyable. But when we pretend to be what we aren't, I ask you, are we going to be confusing? We say things that we're not very well versed. Aren't we creating a problem? At the level we are, we speak at that level. So simple, so easy, smooth flowing. So we're talking about this Shah Big, rahmatullah alayhi. You know, when we talk about this awliya kiram, you know, mind just opens up. Perhaps it is the barakat of these people that allows things to just flow. So, his sheikh, Sheikh Abul Ma'ali, got angry with him, got annoyed with him. Whatever reason, nikal jao, get out. See the training, I'm talking about the training, and the training being solid, being firm. You want a home, you want it solid, right? You don't want to see cracks in the wall afterwards. You don't see a wall collapsing in a flood afterwards. Do you want to see that? So why you want it to be solid? Why don't you want your deen to be solid then? If you need the building to be solid, why don't you want your deen to be solid? If it's an old Khatala plane taking you overseas, will you sit on that thing? Not serviced for 20 years, not serviced. Say, Bismillah, tawakkaltu ala Allah. What youngster brings an old car here, so he parks it here. So I see at the back of his car is tawakkul. So I asked him one day, if you had a brand new BM or a Merc, state of the art, would you put that tawakkul? He said, no, I won't put that. So you only trust in Allah Ta'ala if it's a Khatala car. If it's a brand new car, then you don't trust in Allah. That's what you're saying. Just to cover up for all the weaknesses of the car, he puts a tawakkul. Where they use the brakes, Allah fuck, ram kare. See, I say that deen is easy. Deen koi mushkil kaam nahi. Easy. But understand the deen, understand the applications, understand the implications. Don't behave like what you aren't. You create a problem for yourself, you create a problem for many other people, you create a problem. So the journey with Hazrat Mawlana Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi was a little bit of a difficult journey at the beginning. Once you got used to the person, it was very easy, smooth flowing. But he wants to get you rooted very well. So you see every Khalifa of his, wherever he was, and then he's covering that whole area with his barakat. Abraz Sahib Rahmatullahi, and so for other Buzurg as well, Al Mawlana Madani Sahib Rahmatullahi, Shaykh Al Hadith Mawlana Zakariya Sahib. One Khalifa, he's covering a whole area. Don't you see that? Whole area, he covers it up. Barakat, goodness, everything is just flowing. So the Shaykh asked him, get out of the Khanqa. Anyway, comes the rainy season and some part of the roof is beginning to collapse. Some problems, major leakages on that roof. So the wife now, you know, whether you are a buzruk or not, she doesn't see you like a buzruk. Because she knows what you are, right? So she won't treat you like a buzruk now, obviously. Everybody else may tell you so big buzruk and this and that. But that doesn't mean you must demand that level of respect from your wife as well. She said, we know you, babe. Don't be that claims now. Just be what you are. And sometimes I think it's good. Aisha says that I raced with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I raced with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Obviously, the hadith says that she raced, but in a very discreet spot. Isolated spot where they couldn't be observed. Not in the midst of Spingo Beach now. If I wanted to, that is. I mean, selective, see. I'm hearing now someone is put a little bit of, he's left some kitabs here and there. So now, he's taking a brisk walk with his wife, like soldiers on the street, yeah, from one end to the other end. I say, by hadith ko zara samaj karke, phir uske par amal karo. Understand it first and then apply it. You didn't understand that thing and now you apply it. With his wife now, aren't people going to watch? I ask you, aren't the people going to watch? Auntie looks smart, man. See a figure on it. What types of people are you getting? Is that the right thing? Now, you can look at it from this hadith here, but you don't understand the hadith fully. That was a discreet spot, nobody was watching. All the Sahaba Kiram were on one side, and here Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is racing with Aisha radiallahu anha. And in that first, where they reached for the first time, Aisha had overtaken as Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then, after some years again, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reached with her again.
And on the second occasion, he had overtaken her. So Nabi Sallam says, tilka bi tilka. Be squared up now. This for that. I ask you, any of us can do that? Say, no, but you know, my pride, what will happen to people? What will be, how people will see me? Ye waqar ki potli ko samne rakhte hai. So Nabi Sallam is saying, ma ana minal mutakallifi. I don't pretend. Say it as it will, as it is. So the wife, she is giving him uphill. We had that Shabul Maal, that Shah beaks up to attend to all our problems, you know. The wife is shouting the Sheikh. You look like a clever thing now, you're going to chase him. Now, go and fix your roof yourself now. See how this wife's come out. Huh? So that's why I have to say it nowadays repeatedly. But you don't get angry with your wife. You don't get angry with the woman. Wife and the woman itself. Because the hadith says they are two bob short, right? Naqisatul akhli wa deen. It's clear that they are short. Right? And you want them to be 100% right, then you are two bob short. They are two bob, and you also two bob. So they're going to be a little bit short, they're going to be deficient, let it be like that. That's the promise of the hadith, that they are weak, so they will be weak. So the wife lets him have it. You know, yeah. You like a clever thing now. You want to chase him, alright, now I'm going to fix the roof up yourself. So he's a husband to the wife, but he's a sheikh to the murid. He understands, in that relationship of a murid, right, there needs to be some type of a control. Right? If that control and the respect is maintained, then the work moves smoothly. But if there's no control, no respect for authority, then how can he maintain that position? The boss maintains his condition, and you see the workers will work accordingly. But now the boss, now he acts like one of the workers, and humble himself, and kiss his hand. How you boss? Thank you for coming today. Can I do anything for you? Do you think that workers will show him that respect? Will they execute his commands? He has to maintain his position and see them well as well. It doesn't mean that he must take advantage of them, but that position is meant for a smooth administration. That is why that you are in that position, that you administer them correctly. But you don't show any type of authority, how you expect them to behave? Our Ustad Abdul Rahman Sahib Rahmatullahi, I used to see that if there was a dawat, now he's there 24/7 in the madrasa, not moving out. And he said, "Maine Quran Sharif ke upar bayat le liya. I take bayat for the Quran Sharif only. Coming for the Quran Sharif, I take bayat for that." So you're like Fanafi al-Quran. Now, children will remain children, right? We want an off day. Now the man is not going anywhere, so you don't get any off. No Saturday, no Sunday, no Monday, no lock weekend, nothing happening. But some days it would be that you'll see he'll have a special coat, you know, like this should be a sherwani in those days, one special color. That color means that he's going out. And his other shoe would come out. So we wait for that day that we see that sherwani coming out. Like I said, we are children now. We're going to behave like that. We're going to think like that. So we wait for that shoes to come out and the sherwani to come out. Say, the magic shoe has come out. But on a normal day, what he'll do, on a normal day, say you have to go out for 3-4 hours, what he'll do? He'll have the other jubba, right? So as he's going out, he'll leave the jubba on his seat and then he'll go out. So what impression is created? That I'm just going to the toilet, coming back. So he's got all the jiddats under control. And I suppose he learned it from Sulaiman alayhi salam. Because the Quran Sharif says about Sulaiman alayhi salam that when he finished the Baitul Muqaddas, some of the finishing touches were left, right? He needed to get that sorted out. But now, jinnat is a little bit of a rebellious, it's a rebellious qawm, right? When it's a rebellious qawm, if there is no supervision, they will leave the work and go away. So now, Malakul Maut is already approaching, your time is up. Is it alright? From the spot that I administer the whole thing, you know, from the spot that I manage the whole place, just keep me there. And you can take my soul away, just keep me there. So, as long as they perceive my presence, they will do all the work. And I understand more or less it will take about a year for this whole thing to be rounded up. Exactly after a year, then did his corpse fall off. Because he was reclining on a stick, and the termites took about a year to eat the whole thing up. He was supported and he just fell off. Right? But he did this so that work is done in absentia. He's gone, but the masjid has to be completed. And it has to be completed now, some type of an administration in absence. Understand? So, for dini works, you're supposed to be doing it. In your presence, in your absence, but in your absence, how you allow the dini work to continue? So to make arrangements for your absence is the sunnat of the Anbiya alayhi salam. Like what he did, Ustaz Abdurrahman sahab, I would say, in conformity with the sunnat of Sulaiman alayhi salam, that he left his jubba and he's gone. We are left in the lurch. Coming after 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. So we're swinging around and learning the dua properly. If he comes, you have to deliver it straight away. So he's got us on the toes. So you're talking about the Shah Abul Ma'ali sahab, rahmatullahi alayhi. So the wife lets him have it. But I say, now the Buzurg is a sheikh and he is the husband. So for him to control things at that level of a sheikh, he has to be a little bit different. He can't go and plead to the murid now, come in, you know, I changed you out, sorry for that, come here. He can't do that. Because then the relationship is going to get affected. When the relationship is going to get affected, then he won't be able to get the work out of him. He needs to make him solid. He needs to make him strong in deen. And if he's going to bow down to him, then he won't get him to be as committed to deen as he would expect. Right? So now how to do the both? So he says to the wife, well, I chased him out, you didn't chase him out. What stops you from calling him? So she calls him. Says, the house in a state now, you need to go and fix it up. Olden days now, 250 years. I think we were going through Sarhin, so he passed by that Shah Beg's place. Sarhin is Mujaddid al-Fasani, his grave is. But en route you'll find that this Shah Beg's cupboard is there, right, en route. Although we didn't stop there, but that comes en route. So anyway, in a few moments that Shah Beg was there, he was on the job. Because he was just waiting now, over 6 months, I don't see the sheikh, I can't come to the house, I can't come to the khanka, I had my chips now. 6 months I'm out. So he's just waiting for some type of a return. He got it, sheikh's wife said, come, fix the roof up. So whatever little material he needed, he went to the jungle, broke some branches, some clay, etc. they were using in the olden days. So he got all that stuff, and he's touching the roof. So it's about after Zohar, and the sheikh is sitting down for lunch. And as he sat down for lunch, he's hearing the voice, cut, 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 someone is banging a hammer, you know. What's happening? You know, that Shah Beg is fixing the roof up. So sheikh was very, very excited, very excited. You see this person here, he maintained the loyalty. I chased him out. But in spite of me chasing him out, he didn't break the loyalty with me. See that respect, the loyalty. He doesn't need the loyalty himself, but he needs to create a loyalty with the sheikh, right? That will be a reflection of his loyalty to Allah Ta'ala. Under any circumstance, he's not going to break the trust, he's not going to break that loyalty. No matter high or low, see. Whichever the situation may be, but he's not going to break it. Otherwise it becomes like an English relationship. See, that English relationship is like this, or a Western relationship is like this, that if the husband is well, then the wife is around. But the moment he is down, then she is out. She's gone. Don't count on her for that. So she's only there for the good days. As long as you are flying high, then she's around with you. But the moment you are suffering, you look for something else, let me look for something else. Now, in life, you're going to be confronted with different type of situations, different type of challenges. Sometimes you're flying high, sometimes you're going down. But are you going to maintain a consistent style with Allah Ta'ala? Or are you going to be also fluctuating? What's going to happen? Are you going to maintain a consistency? Or are you going to be fluctuating? What's going to happen with you? Ayyub alayhi salam, he went through that phase of illness, right? And his children, his property, everything was lost. Children passed away, properties all went away, everything went away, or destroyed, everything went away. Properties destroyed, children all passed away. Anyway, it's a long story. Thereafter, Allah Ta'ala returned to him his health. He recovered completely and doubled his wealth. وَمِثْلَهُمْ مَعَوْمْ رَحْمَةً مِّنْ عِنْدِنَا and returned to him everything but doubled. When Allah Ta'ala returned everything to him doubled, so Allah Ta'ala asked him, O Ayyub alayhi salam, is the former condition more pleasant or the present condition more pleasant? Now, you know, we're talking about adab at the beginning. How Shahabul Ma'ali Sahib Rahmatullah, how it interacted with the Shaykh. Now, this adab is not just from the awliya, but from the anbiya. Now, Allah Pak is asking Hazrat Ayyub alayhi salam, how do you feel now that we have returned everything, restored all your wealth, your health, your children, and we doubled the amounts? So how do you feel now? Now do you feel better, or your former condition of illness was better? Now look at the relationship. See, this is what I say, rooted. In any situation, then you don't move. مِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى حَرْفٍ. Then there are those that are swinging, right? They are worshipping Allah Ta'ala, but they are fence sitters. This side, that side. This side, that side. Things are working out, so this side. Not working out the other side. مِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى حَرْفٍ. Allah Ta'ala, what he wants to see? فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا. He wants to see the truth. He wants to see honesty, that consistency. That's what he wants to see. Otherwise, Allah Ta'ala is not short of anything. He put you through a patch. Do you think it's because he's short? His treasures are getting depleted, no? He's got everything. It's like what it was. But he wants to see your colors now. So he puts you through this different type of trials. So Ayyub alayhi salam's reply to Allah Ta'ala, well, Allah Ta'ala, all these are your blessings. Whether it is difficulty, whether it is prosperity, all are your blessings. And we need all your blessings. We are dependent and needy of all your blessings at every time. But the only difference I find is in the state of illness, you know, everything had left me, I found a very beautiful communication with yourself. Because there was no wealth, there was nothing that was coming between me and you. I had a direct relationship. Now with the wealth, now everything is coming in between. I need to communicate with the property, wealth, whatever else comes with it, you know, all the responsibilities that attach to property, all that is coming between me and you. Then there was no interruption in my relationship with you. There was no interruption. But see how he's wording it. See how he's wording it. He's not showing a dependence from the favors of Allah Ta'ala. You know, one is to say, I don't need this thing here. He's not showing independence. He's showing dependence. غير مكفين. غير مكفين. We don't show any type of attitude to Allah Ta'ala. No type of independence. The smallest gifts or the biggest gifts, I need it all the time. A small little toothache makes a person, big man, restless. Small toothache. Doesn't it make you restless? So can you say at any time, I don't need. So we are in need and will remain in need right till the last. أنتم الفقراء والله هو الغني الحميد. So Ayyub alayhi salam says that relationship that I enjoyed in the state of illness, there's something good in that. You know, I had no interruption in my relationship with you. But now with all this wealth and all that, everything comes in between. I need to perform my namaz, obviously. But now the thought about what's happening to this, what's happening to that property, the thought may just pass the mind. But when you don't have it, then the relationship is obviously clear. But now, when you hear of Ayyub alayhi salam, don't take a high jump we also need to keep a big relationship with Allah, give everything so we can have a clear relationship. So I say, no, we have to take these things here. People like us must take these things. Because the idea is to have, to enjoy a relationship. And one is the person who enjoys the relationship naturally. He's got a natural relationship, right? He's healthy, he's strong, his body is fit. So he's taking natural products, whatever he's taking natural, but he's fit and healthy and strong. Mentally, physically, emotionally, he's strong. But the other person is keeping himself strong with the drugs and the medication that he's taking. So that person that doesn't have that natural imani strength, right, is one person. He needs to be propped up with wealth. So the wealth is like a medication. It's not the original strength. It's a borrowed strength. See, the original strength is build your iman. And the artificial strength is you need to take that medication and prop yourself up. So people like us, we don't have that natural strength. So you're propping ourselves up with medication, doing this, taking this, Panado, Voltaren, etc., and keeping ourselves healthy. So we can't go and compare ourselves with Ayyub alayhi salam. Illa mashallah, there may be one servant of Allah Ta'ala who's got that strength. He's an exception to the case. He's an exception to the rule. But as a rule, we don't have the strength. So he says to Allah Ta'ala that that was a pure, untainted, uninterrupted relationship that I had with you. And then the second thing I enjoyed in that state was every morning, you know, when I was in that state, every morning I would hear the direct message coming from you. Ayyub, there's any mizaj case here. Ayyub, how do you do this morning? And the enjoyment of Allah Ta'ala talking to me was so great, so overwhelming, that enjoyment would remain with me for the rest of the day. Now that I'm recovered, I don't get that. I don't enjoy that any longer. On the day of Qiyamah, you know, we read this verse in Surah Yasin, إِنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ الْيَوْمَ فِي شُغُولٍ فَاكِهُونَ. Sometimes the thought crosses the mind, we'll be always in joy in Jannah now, then won't it become boring? Always women, palaces, streams, fruit, and all that. That won't it become boring? So Allah Ta'ala allays our concerns. He moves away our concerns. What he says? You will be in an active, joyful occupation. What? In an active, joyful. Go do this, go do this. So how you feel? You feel active, you feel joyful. The occupation is so joyful and exciting, keeps up, it takes the whole day. So the Jannati, as he's ushered into Jannat, right, that at intervals, Allah Ta'ala will call out, Ya Ahl al-Jannah, O people of Jannah. And they will see Allah Ta'ala directly. He'll talk to them. Salamun qawlam min Rabbir Rahim. He'll greet them. Salamun qawlam min Rabbir. So when they see Allah Ta'ala, and they hear the greeting of Allah Ta'ala, it will overwhelm them so much for the rest of the day, for the rest of a few days. They overwhelm, they forget everything else. Like when you really overwhelm with joy, everything else is forgotten for that moment, isn't it? It's so great, so magnificent, that you overwhelm with joy for that moment. So for the few couple of days thereafter, you feel so overwhelmed. So we're coming back to that incident of Hazrat Shah Abul Ma'ali Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi. Right? Now Shah Abul Ma'ali Sahib, rahmatullahi, is sitting out for lunch, and this person made kutkut on the roof, fiddler on the roof. So when he hears this, so he comes out with a morsel of food, and he comes out on the courtyard. In India, up till now, most homes have a courtyard. So he comes out to the courtyard, and I said, Le big, big, just take, come, take. Now he is seeing the Sheikh after 6 months. Can you imagine how he is exploding with joy? He's not filled with joy, but he's exploding with joy. No relationship, no ta'alluq, not even a salam. Now after 6 months, he said, coming. From the roof, he dived down. And the Shaykh gave him an embrace, put that luqma in his mouth. That whatever for you is at barakat, he needed to transfer it directly. So that moment comes. But that moment, don't think that moment is in the control of the Shaykh. Sometimes we wrongfully feel that the Shaykh is in control of passing it transferring it to his murid. That Allah Ta'ala will do. But Allah Ta'ala will see when it is the right time. The Shaykh may see it through his basirat and firas. Now, this is the time. Like how on a Laylatul Qadr now, you feel like crying and you're feeling a trembling feeling. These are all indications that your du'as are getting answered. So exactly the same. Shaykh can feel now, right? Now this is the moment that Allah Ta'ala will transfer this on to this murid here. So let it come. Came and embraced. And whatever was needed to be transferred, was transferred at the same time. But for that to happen, he had to be thrown out of the khanqah for 6 months. So can you imagine the qurbani that he made, the difficulty, the agony, the pain that he went through, you know? How he must have felt at that time. So, Allah Pak wants you to be in that state. There was one, how many minutes left for us? An exciting story, but I don't know how to. Rasul Numa, that was his name. That was a Molana. His name was. He was also a very great Buzurg, India. So you want to see Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, say, alright, bring 100,000 and I will show you. And he will do it. You bring 100,000 and in that 5 minutes he shows you Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now, like I say, the wife is not your murid, right? She'll say anything. And everything she'll say. So she complains to him, puri dunya ko Nabi Sam ki ziyarat karate phirte ho, apne ghar wale ko bhul jate hain. Kaise buzurg ho, the whole world you can show Nabi Sam, and your own household you can't show. So he said, order bring 100,000. So she says to him, that I belong to you, my wife belongs to you. What do I have of my own? What you give is my wealth. What you provide, that's my wealth.